So let's go over what we're talking about today. John, did you have a chance to catch the president's speech last night?
I'm sorry to say that I did.
It wasn't exactly, I mean, look, I didn't expect much and I got less than I expected.
I'm trying to get a pardon. I'm trying really hard to thread this needle, right? But literally every word out of the man's mouth last night was a lie. That's all there was to it. Literally everything he said was a lie. And then saying that he's going to bomb the electrical grid, that's a war crime. You cannot bomb infrastructure. So he's announcing in advance that he's committing a war crime. I just don't understand it at all.
Assuming that, assuming that this isn't just like bluster for the Canadian, for the Iranians, I suspect strongly that he's not done. He's not really pulling out in 2 or 3 weeks. This is all just misdirection. And I think, we're going in with ground troops.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. We're going to go in with ground troops. And is he going to be able to tell people that their sons were killed for Israel and they should be okay with that?
Well, so John, this was a scripted speech where he went one of those scripted speeches where the president then like had his little meandering, nobody's ever seen such, nobody thought it was possible kind of diatribes that we've seen over and over again. John, this seemed to me like, one of the president's do or die, make it or break it moments. And it doesn't seem like it was taken very seriously, in terms of the final product. Is seriously lacking, right? I mean, what happens here internally in the White House? I mean, was the original speechwriter not very good, or did they not have enough freedom of action with the president looking over their shoulder, or is it just Trump's impossible to work for, or is it all Trump's fault? Like, what's going on?
I keep coming back to this comment that he made a few weeks ago, in which a reporter asked him who his advisors were. And he said that he didn't have any advisors, that he simply went with whatever was in his gut. And I think that's exceedingly dangerous. I'm sure that it's true. I'm sure that he does just go with his gut, but that's exceedingly dangerous. And I think that he believes or wants to believe what Benjamin Netanyahu has told him about Iran, even though it's demonstrably false. And he's just going with it. That's the bottom line. He's just going with it. And the American people are just going to have to either, accept it or walk away.
It's, I mean, so, but the thing is, the American people have already made very clear that they don't accept it. I mean, the approval rating for the president himself is at a record low. The approval rating for the war is basically roughly less than 1 out of 3, maybe closer to 1 out of 4 voters. A lot of Republicans don't like this war and are worried about it. It just seems to me like this is a no-win situation for the president. I don't see how it, I mean, I just don't, it just seems so poorly thought out. It seems so impulsive. It's a little bit breathtaking.
Well, he said something too yesterday offhandedly that was so patently offensive. I can't believe people didn't jump up and down. He said, people are going to have to get used to high gas prices. If they don't like it, tough luck. It's like, that's not what you said at the State of the Union just 5 weeks ago when you were bragging about the price of gas and how it had never been lower, never been lower. And I mean, this is exactly what the Republicans ran on against first Joe Biden and then Kamala Harris was the price of gas. Okay, now the price of gas is as high, almost as high as it was at any point in the Biden administration. What are you going to do about it? Because it's not just gas prices. Gas prices lead to higher transportation costs, which lead to higher food prices and things for everything from, roofing tiles to bottles of water. It's everything. Everything goes up.
Yeah, well, for sure. And the thing is, it's not going to come down quickly. I mean, and that said, though, there wasn't like a lot of reassurance to the American people, right? Like I was expecting to hear something along the lines of, yes, I see you. I know that the prices have gone up. I see the gas prices as I drive around Washington, and I know it's a problem. but don't worry, it's not going to stay up for very long. The war is going to come to a conclusion. We're going to reopen the strait. Prices will come down. It might take a few months, but in the long run, we're all going to be better off. That's the message that Americans would expect to hear from their president, but they didn't. It was basically like, suck it up, buttercup.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's what it came down to.
It's really this. I mean, I published the column I was talking about yesterday. I teased yesterday about, you know, fascism. You know, if people who studied, I studied fascism under Robert O. Paxton, the author at Columbia of The Anatomy of Fascism, which I would encourage anyone to read. It's the most useful book ever written on the topic in the English language.
Yeah. And
Paxton always talks about how war is sort of the inevitable result, culmination of fascism, because of all the hostile, hyper-masculine, aggressive rhetoric. You have to ultimately break something. But in the end, war destroys the fascist regime. In the end, right? Like, it certainly, you know, Hitler probably only wanted a quick invasion of Poland and just didn't expect a two-front war that was going to grind up Europe and North Africa. And, you know, but that destroyed him. It destroyed Germany. You know, it just seems like this will destroy, whether Trump is fascist or not, this will certainly destroy politically his administration.
Yeah, I agree. This is going to be a serious problem. But, and this is another interesting thing to me, Ted, is that it seems like he genuinely doesn't give a shit about Republican prospects in the midterm election.
No, he doesn't care. It's true.